But we are going, let's jump into here today. We're going to talk about one of the biggest characteristics that ensures your success. Turn to the person on your left and say, I'm more humble than you. I love this verse. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal. We're mortals, aren't we? That's a little humbling sometimes, isn't it? I mean, we know we got a life after this.
You're the most mortal man I believe I've ever met.
You mean humble or mortal? She said, you're the most mortal man I've ever met. I am the most mortal man, but I would put up a case. I'm just as mortal as he is. Or she is. I like you. You're feisty, aren't you?
I hurt.
You hurt. Well, we need to keep praying for healing for her.
Wait till
you're out of your pain. We probably couldn't be in the same room with her. We just have to give you the mic and let you preach. Oh, mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Humility is all about character. And one of the most underemphasized quality, we think about character a lot, but one of the most underemphasized qualities of character is humility. And as we go through today, I want to show you that humility is godliness. It's a kingdom characteristic. And pride, which is the opposite of humility, and I think most of you probably know that, have enough good teaching, is a demonic characteristic. Pride was what caused the downfall of Satan. He stood before God and basically said, I can do as good a job as you. And it didn't get him very far, and it's messed up the whole human race. But I don't want to be too hard on Satan, although he's going to get his comeuppance. Comeuppance. Where's that? Does anybody ever use that word anymore? Comeuppance. It must be a southern word. Do you use that word? And but you know, how many times have I said that to God? Not the actual words, but in my actions. If I was in control, I'd be doing it differently right now. He is just not giving me a good deal. How many of you ever thought that at least? Or thought thinking that? And so, but character is a big deal. It's a huge deal. See, in America, we're it's a practical culture. It's a pragmatic culture. It's known that around the world. It's known for getting things done. So we will often elevate people that have the ability to get things done, that have gifts, but we soon find out they don't have the ability to carry it out all the way. I say it this way, gifts get you in the door, but character keeps you in the room. How many times have we seen this in preachers? Man, they're some of the best orators you've ever seen. Some of the best, maybe if they're worship leaders, some of the best musicians or Sunday school teachers. Their gift is good. But you find out later they end up, as we use the word, falling or getting into sin or doing something stupid because gifts are given. That's why they're called a gift. Character is grown. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And they don't grow overnight. And they don't all grow at the same time. And so a lot of times your gifts will get you into places that your character can't keep you there. And God gives you the gifts. He's emphasized, He loves your gifts, whether it's in the workforce or in the ministry, or if you're a software developer, the ability to do whatever they do, or a mechanic to do whatever they do. But you know, you can be the best mechanic, but if you don't have the character to show up on time, be respectful, la la la, all the other things that you do, you're not going to stay there very long, even if your gifts are good. And so God gives you the gifts, but then He says, you have to press into me, and to finish this thing well, I want your character to come along and match with it. And on purpose, it's a dependence thing that we have to have with God. Now, humility is not one of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, humility is something that you have to grow in the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. I don't think I named them all, but Galatians 5 there. You can go and look. And so we need those things. And humility is something that underpins it. I love this quote by Ruth Barton. We set young leaders up for a fall when we encourage them to envision what they can do before they consider the kind of person they should be. And one of our goals here in ministry is to care more about you than your gift. We'll care about both. I love this quote. Be more concerned with your character than your reputation. Because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what other people think you are. And so humility is a big deal. And first, let's do some little definitions here. What humility is not? It's not weakness. It's not quietness. It's not self-deprecation. It's not self-denial. It's not a personality type. It's not poverty, and it's not acting humble. Man, you see this in the Christian world all the time. Come up, somebody did a great solo or did great singing or great teaching. Make it personal. You come to me and go, Craig, I really enjoyed your talk today. And I go, I look down. You ever seen people like this? You look down. You look like you're pained because they told you this. And you go, it wasn't me. It was God. You heard something like that? That's self-deprecation. Listen, it wasn't God. If it was, he would have done better than me. I was the one speaking. And hopefully what humility is acknowledging the source of your strengths and gifts is something beyond you. What the best thing to do, and we train our leaders here, if somebody gives you a compliment, say thank you. That is not arrogance. Or it could be arrogance, depending on what you do next. You say thank you and you go on. Because God does give us the ability to do things. And we have to increase in our skill level to do those things. Hopefully I'm a better communicator than I was 20 years ago. Who knows? But hopefully, if I've been working on it. But at night when I go to bed and I review what happened that day, or if somebody came to me, I'm a software developer, that's how I make my living. Somebody comes, man, you just did great in that presentation today. You knocked it out of the park. I do a presentation probably twice a week, this little thing that we do. And I just say, thank you. But at night, before I go to bed, I say, Father, thank you for your wisdom, your patience with me. Thank you for helping me get to the place where I'm starting to get competent in what I'm doing. But I give you the glory. There are some natural strengths on my own, but I'm smart enough to realize in the end, as Paul said, he said, I don't want to just speak to you persuasive words of wisdom or cleverness of speech. But he said, I want to be a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. And that's that marriage there. And so humility is acknowledging at the end of the day, not to the person in front of you, is saying, Father, I thank you that was a good talk. But I realize it's because you've been patient with me and trained me and disciplined me and helped me. And at that, the middle of that sermon where it was the most anointed, you actually whispered, just stay here. And pause on this point. I wasn't planning on doing that. But I was smart enough or humble enough to listen to your voice. And that was the most effective part. They'll never know that. See, it's an inner motivation of acknowledging where your strengths come from. God, and this is what we want to talk about. Humility produces, we're going to talk about three things. It does a lot, but we're going to talk about three things today. And one of the things that it does is when you walk humbly before God, acknowledging Him as your source and not acting the whole self-deprecating, humble deal, that's actually counterproductive. Because every time Joe's speaking next week, if Joe speaks, I say he does good, and he goes, oh, it was nothing, la, la, la. I'm not going to tell him that anymore because I don't want to hear it. Now, because I'm the leader here, I'll actually rebuke him and say, don't say that anymore. And he won't, but hey, you walk with me, you get picked on. Plus, you're on the front row. Move to the back. See, I never pick on Patty back here until now because she's on the back row. She's learned this lesson. Chuck is totally into this. He moved to the back wall.
I guess I better go outside.
She said, I guess I'll go outside. But promotion, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God wants to promote you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, he wants to promote you.
Amen.
He wants to promote you. What am I going to be promoted into? I don't know. It says in Ephesians 2:10, before the foundation of the world, before your parents were even born, and you were a fault in the middle of the night, he came up with... Be quiet. He came up with... He says he prepared good works beforehand for you. I don't know what they are. I'm not God. It's not my job. But he's got works for you.
Amen.
That he promotes you into. Now, he will not promote you fully to where he wants to. Two things have to happen. One, there has to be some ability. So that's what some of your training is. And there also has to be humility.
Right.
So turn to somebody and say, ability and humility. I love 1 Peter 5:5. I don't have all the verses up there just because I never know which ones I'm going to use. It says, you younger men, accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, serve each other in humility. For God sets himself against the proud, but he shows favor to the humble.
Amen.
What is favor? Favor is where God gives you something more than you've earned by your behavior. About 2 months before I started the job I was at now, maybe not quite that long, maybe a month, took 6 weeks to get the background clearance to do federal government work as a contractor. A lady up in Cleveland just turned to me and said, I see honor and two angels in front of you, one in front and one in back. There's an honor of angel in the front and an honor of favor in the back. I've been doing this job now for about 2 months, 2.5 months. I was telling Brian, I'm doing the exact same thing I've done for years, but for some reason they're amazed by it.
Uh-huh.
Now, arrogance would go step in and go, man, I'm really good. Humility realizes, I'm really not even as good as they think I'm good. There's something going on here. But each night I just say, Father, thank you for your favor. I'm not doing anything different than I did before, but something in the spirit realm's happening. God's promoting and giving me favor for whatever reason. Now, I don't say this, God, I don't deserve this. Well, I do say that. I say, God, I don't deserve this, but I don't say, God, take it away. You know, I'm not good enough for this. It's just his favor. He promotes you.
Amen.
And so that's what happens with humility. Boy, there's so many verses. Oh, yeah, this is a good 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10. If you want to write them down or listen, go back and read it later. This is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. That's you.
Amen.
Not the person sitting next to you. I mean, it is for them too, but most of the time we just say, well, it's that person sitting next to me. They pray more, they do more. Verse 10, but we know these things because God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Okay, what's the pattern here? As you walk with God and seek after God, He starts revealing stuff to you by His Spirit. John 4:23 and 24 says, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshiper shall worship Him by Spirit and in truth. The truth is the Word of God. Whatever you find in the Word of God, you can claim. He will also give you stuff by the Spirit. It will never contradict the Word of God. It usually gives you a specific example of how to carry it out in your life, and you can claim that. We often call that revelation, revealed to them by His Spirit. And His Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. When you're humble, this is it. For you to be humble... that means you have to go into God's presence and acknowledge Him as God. That very act starts opening up a channel where He goes, man, He's teachable. He's correctable. He's open. And then what happens is it starts this if I can get this going here. Can you click in there, Mike? With the promotion, there's a pattern here. It starts out with humility. He says, I'm going to promote him. What was he going to promote you to? To doing something. Obviously. It doesn't do any good to say, I'm promoted. What are you promoted to? Well, nothing. When you're promoted at work, it's promoted into greater responsibility, greater accountability, and it produces great deeds. Humility, now this is where Christians get messed up. Well, they get messed up all over the place, or I do. Humility produces great strength, enabling you to do great things. As you humble yourself, humble yourself is voluntarily saying, Father, I seek after you. I want to do your will. I want to follow after you. See, pride never does that because they think they have all the answers. And if you're a choleric type A, project-oriented person like me, it's especially a weakness. But when you humble yourself, He, by His Spirit, starts revealing the plan over your life. And it scares the daylights out of you. Because His plan is always bigger than what you could do on your own. We can do some cool things on our own. But when we partner with Him in the family business, it's even better than we could ever imagine. And it's usually, a lot of times, in our areas of weakness, because He wants to do it as a partnership. He wants to come along beside you and do it together. Together, you with the what He has given you, and as you walk humbly with Him, it creates a dynamic thing that as it starts moving, you can't ever get proud. Or it's hard to get proud. Because you realize in the end, if He leaves, I'm dead. Last month I was speaking at a church up in Cleveland, Living Word. They gave and I spoke, and then for various reasons, there was about 30 people there. The pastor said, pray over these people. And I'm just have them pass by, and you're just going to pray over them, give them a prophetic word. And I'm like, 30 people? I mean, that's, you know, we do a lot of prophetic words here, but 30's a lot. At least for me. It's not for Tom Lunger that was here a month ago. And I just said, well, I'll just pray and bless them however. Well, when every person, when they came by, I just laid hands on them. As soon as I laid hands on them, God gave me a quick word that was just, it was specific to them. And they went by, and they're being blessed, and they're crying. You know, when people are crying, God's usually moving. That's sort of an oxymoron. But that's why we have tissues around here, because He works at the soul level, and He shows us our hearts and attention. And about five people into this, and it was good. About five people into this, I'm going, this is good, and this ain't me, man. I ain't this good. Believe me, I was as surprised as they were. And I just said, well, I hope this keeps up. If not, plan B. You know, humans always have to have a plan B. Plan B was I just pray and bless them like a Hallmark card. You know, just be blessed, encouraged, and go on. That would have been good, too. We got through the whole line, and I had 30 specific words for the people. They were all blessed. They thought I was some superstar, and I realized, I am not this good. And so at night when I go to bed, arrogance would have gone, you're good. Humility was, God, that was amazing. I just thank you that I was kept my mouth shut and listened to you close enough. You follow what I'm saying? And so, but He will give you great deeds. Visions are born out of this humility because it's been in His presence. And it produces faith. Faith is calling those things that are not as though they are. It's not walking by sight, but by what you got in the prayer closet. And this is where it's just so hard. Let me go to the next thing. And this produces wisdom. How does somebody get wise? I always want to be somebody that's wise. How many? You have to have multiple experiences of doing it right. Are doing it wrong and realizing you did it wrong and learn from it. You're not born wise. It's a three-step process. First of all, when God gives you good deeds or a great thing to accomplish in your life or to go for in college or go for in a small business or go for in your family, the first thing you've got to do is accumulate knowledge, don't you? Well, what does that look like? If you're going to start a business, you got to figure out what the rules are. Then it goes into understanding. Understanding is, okay, I understand why we have to incorporate as a business, because if somebody sues me, they don't take my house and my land and everything else. There's a limited liability corporation there, or C Corp, that protects me. Wisdom is doing this enough and running a business. People come to you and go, can you pray for me to have a great business? Because I see that you're wise. Or a great ministry, because I see that you're wise. I don't really ever pray those prayers over them. I mean, I'll pray for them, but you have to be in the prayer closet, hear what God has, learn the knowledge, get the understanding, walk in wisdom long enough so that you have a track record of making good decisions, and then you have a business or a ministry. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? But that whole process, you're humble before the Lord, listening for His voice. And so that is how things are birthed. There have been many things in the ministry I've done that scared me to death, that because God showed up, it worked out. That whole time, I'm having to believe that God is going to have to show up, or this is going to just not work out real great. He loves to put you in those positions. He does it even in business. He does it in your job. That's called faith. I don't see how it's going to work out, but I heard it in the prayer closet. He wanted me to do it. I think this is the right timing. And that's how faith is built. Faith is built by seeing God show up over and over and over again, when you know in your own quiet time that you were just grateful that it happened. Real quick, there's so much stuff to talk about. So how does humility come? It's real simple. It comes. The Bible says this. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. We humble ourselves. It's not a gift that's imparted. You can't go and say, pray for humility, and bam, all of a sudden you're humble. It's the constant thing of humbling yourself. It's a constant thing of responding to God's voice when you don't want to respond to God's voice. Humility is, like I said earlier, acknowledging there is somebody or someone greater than you. I do this all the time when I'm doing programming, software development. I don't know a job or how to make something work, and it's frustrating and it's not working and the pressure's on. I'll go, Father, You know how to make this thing work. Show me. I can't tell you the many times all of a sudden an idea will pop into my head. And I go, I've never thought of it that way before. And I still have to go work it out and apply it. So that's how humility works. That's asking Him for stuff. Many times He'll come to you when you're praying to Him, when you're worshiping to Him, or you're in an environment like this, and He'll ask you to do something. How many times have we go, oh my gosh. We immediately know what it's going to cost us to do that thing. We immediately know it's going to upset our life, upset our agenda, maybe upset people around us. We don't want to do it. Humility is acknowledging that there's someone greater than us who is right, and I'm going to obey. Humility, that's where you have to self-humble yourself. That is the act of saying there is something more important than my ways, my agenda. To the degree you obey is the degree that you are humble. You come to me and say, am I humble? I don't know. Maybe if I stuck around you long enough, I might could discern whether you're humble or not. But I don't know what God's telling you to do. You can make it all up and look great on the outside. How you doing, brother? I'm looking great. Give you a hug. Move on. But you're just not obeying God. Or you think you're so good because of your own source and own strength. I don't know. Because of my personality and my position here, many people, I can't tell you how many times it's happened over the time of the church, they call me arrogant. Why? Well, I'm the most mortal person. I'm never arrogant. You know, I appreciate it, but you really don't know if I'm humble. I mean, maybe, unless God just gave you a discernment. What? Go ahead. Okay. I don't even know what to say to that. You're great. But this is the thing is, when you're in the prayer closet with God, this is, think of Joseph. I'm not Joseph. Who was the guy that fought Goliath? You have totally got me off.
David.
Oh, your husband? Oh, his name's David. Maybe I ought to put you at the back table back here.
I told you.
Yeah, maybe I need to go outside. Anyway, wait. Before I lose my conversation, David, he's in the back somewhere on the side of a mountain taking care of sheep. The Lord supernaturally has been training him. He's been fighting lions. He's been fighting bears. Nobody's ever seen this stuff. And the Lord supernaturally tells David on the backside of nowhere, go, well, his dad calls him, take this cheese. And while he's taking this cheese up there, he sees Goliath and he's provoked. What God's put inside of him has provoked him to a place of confidence. Why is this guy insulting the armies of God? What did his brothers do? They called him arrogant. They would have been arrogant if they had said that. But they didn't know he had been sitting in God's presence. And he had seen God move so many times. And so it's hard to judge people's actions and assign an inner motivation to them because you don't know where that inner motivation came from. The person that's heard from God and their faith has been activated and they know what they're supposed to do could be confidence in the Lord and faith, but for us who are not following God, we would know it would be arrogance. And so it's a hard thing to follow there. Because when God activates and puts something in your heart, you know that you know God is with you. And this is what you need to do. And it produces a confidence, but this is the difference. The humble person realizes the confidence is because of my relationship of walking with the Lord and hearing His voice. And there's been a track record there over the years. And so the first thing is you are humble when you obey Him. We need to hurry up here. Secondly, ask God to reveal areas of self-sufficiency. This is the thing. Ambition is good. It's all through the Bible. When your ambition is lined with Jesus' ambition. When you're partnering in the family business. But you also look through the Scriptures. One of the worst things that causes problems in families, splits churches, does all kinds of stuff, is selfish ambition. It's ambition, and sometimes you think it's right, but it's selfish ambition when you've not spent enough time in the throne room before God to make sure it's His ambition. This is a hard thing. It's not a black and white thing. But constantly go to the Lord. It says, for everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. How do you do this on a practical basis? End every day thanking God for what He has done. And saying, Father, was there any of me in this? Any of my ambition instead of Your ambition? And let Him speak to you. On a regular basis, you're going to hear things because we're not perfect till the day we die. And if you hear something that you realize probably out of a motivation, I wanted to accomplish something or do something, just repent. If you need to repent to others, repent to others. Lastly, and we've talked about this a lot, so we won't dwell on it, spending time with Him. I'm telling you, as you spend time with God, however this looks for you, walking through nature, getting your soul quiet, reading the Word of God, worshiping, when you regularly meet with the Lord, I'm telling you, you start to realize how blessed we are, but how also frail we are. And how blessed we are to walk with Him, that He's chosen to walk with Him, and how frail we are. And both of those are good. It says in all through Ephesians, we're seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we are. Things can happen. But as you spend time in the Lord, you don't get arrogant over that. You just become very humbled by it, that He would invite you to be a co-heir with Jesus Christ. And His agendas start replacing your agendas. Let's close with this verse. Philippians 2, 4. It's talking about Jesus Christ, who is the perfect example of humility. So we talked about this. Humility is humbling yourself. When you humble yourself, He gives you favor. When He gives you favor, He promotes you. When He promotes you, He gives you good deeds to do. And you become wise over time. There is that progression. Philippians 2, 4, and you'll see this in Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, me, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's a humbling thing. He chose to do that. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. I'm telling you, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember the battle? He sweated blood and tears out of his pores. There is a medical condition for that. It says when people are under such severe stress, that can happen. Let me tell you, he battled in the Garden of Gethsemane to go through what he went through. To be pinned to a cross, all the stuff that happened before that with the crown of thorns, and any of you seen the Passion of Christ, you know what I'm talking about. And then hell to torment him. Those demons he kicked out to come back and torment him. He did that so that we could have a relationship with us again. And so when he was in that garden, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say this, but he finally said, not my will. It implies, we don't know for sure, that he, as the man part, wouldn't have chosen to do that. Not my will, but thy will be done. And many times I've been nowhere near that position, but I've been in a position where I wanted to do what I wanted to do and battled. How many of you have been there? And then I'll think of Jesus that had much starker choices than I did. And most of the time, not always, because nobody's perfect, I'd say, not my will, but thy will be done. He's the perfect example of that. Lost my place where he was at. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Had been found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Wherefore God also, so he died, now he humbled himself. See the progression. He humbled himself, became in the form of us. We tend to take that as a compliment. But if you were God, that's a drastic reduction there. You follow what I'm talking about? I mean, we're humbled because we think we're the epitome of the food chain. And I guess we're here on earth, but we're not the epitome of the food chain when you take heaven into account. He humbled himself. So he humbled himself. And then he said, not my will, but your will, the Father, be done. Therefore, God highly exalted him. See the pattern? See, I want to go from saved to highly exalted. Right. Like now. Hallelujah. Tomorrow. But I wouldn't be able to keep it. I've become such a big head and arrogance. I have enough problems with that as it is. And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. That happened. Under the earth is referring to the demonic realm. Well, he hadn't faced the demonic realm yet. He had it before, but God's doing something different here. Things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You can stand. Jesus showed us the pattern of promotion. God wants to promote you. This notion that Christianity wants to keep you poor and irrelevant is a demonic idea. Because they're scared. He wants to promote you. He wants to prosper you in many different ways. but He also wants it to come from a partnership with Him where you realize it's about Him and you use the resources that He has given to you to help the family business grow. He takes us through things to be a trustworthy partner. Well, I've been here for 5 years and nothing's happened. I'm still waiting on my word. I don't have an answer for you. That's between you and God. But I know that God is never late. His timing is perfect. We never know when some of these things may happen, but when it happens, we'll go, now I know why. Because this thing that's happened is different than what I envisioned, and I needed these skills, and I needed these things. And that's just a battle, especially in America, where we can get food in 30 seconds from a fast food place, or you can go on the internet and get an answer to anything through Google or Wikipedia instantly. That is good. I do that all the time. But that's not how God works. He's not on Wikipedia. And you can't find Him in Google. And He's saying knowledge. See, in America, we think knowledge is everything. It's not. It's knowledge plus having the character to walk through it produces the wisdom to hold it. Amen. Amen. Father, I just pray over every person here. And I pray, and we just do this now, Lord. We just start it now. I just say, show us areas where we are not sufficient on You. Show us areas where we think the way You did it in the past is the way You're always going. Let me pause. Let me just say that. I just feel prompted to do this. See, pride, when you think you've got it all together, you want things to stay the way they are. Because you're in control and you understand what's happening now. Pride wants to keep you in the present. But when you get an insight from the Lord, He reveals to you what's going to happen in the future. And that takes humility to inherit the future. And He shows you what's going to happen in the future, which is something you're not skilled to do right now. But as you humble yourself and say, Father, I submit to Your will, He starts a process of helping you bring the future into your present. You understand what I'm saying? If you just live off your own experiences, there's going to be very little change. And if you're good at it, you're going to be proud about it, and you don't want it to change. But the kingdom of God is not finished in you or around you. And as you stand before the presence of the Lord to the ability that we can handle, He starts revealing your future. And you start going, Father, help me to be the person to inherit this future. And then you're a prophetic person because you're bringing the future into the present. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we just humble ourselves before You. And show us where we're self-sufficient. Show us where we're proud. Show us where we have selfish ambition. And we say we sign up to live for Your ambition, knowing that You're going to show us the future You had before the foundation of the world, and then bring along the Holy Spirit's comforting and the Holy Spirit's teaching to bring that future into our present. You need to meditate on that. That's good. And Father, I pray blessings, body, soul, and spirit over every person here. They hear from You clearly. That You help them in their emotions and You help them in renewing their mind. And I pray for everybody that's hurting here today. We pray for my sister. I can't ever remember people's names when I'm praying. Diane. And I can't remember my wife's name when I'm preaching. I don't know what the deal is. We pray for Diane right now. She said she's in pain. Father, I pray You have healing in Your gifts, 9 gifts. And Holy Spirit that's inside of her, just touch her. And as You did with Nikki, just heal her, Father, and remove all pain in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have a great day. And good testimonies. We want to hear more good testimonies next week. And if you need prayer, be to your left, my right.